Hello, I'm Jake Wilson, and welcome to the Monday Week 12 recap on Al Davis Plus the Points. Because the only thing better than sports, gambling, and booze is being Al Davis. Siegs, creep to the mic like a phantom.
Absolutely, Jake. My name is Brandon Sigloff, and you are listening to a sports podcast that is a free-flowing conversation that constantly touches on mature subjects.
Now, we kind of had a rough week last week with the picking the games by the spread. You went 4-11, and I went 6-9, and this is excluding tonight's Monday night game.
Which we pretty much are sure to get wrong. I mean, I went 4-11, which is pretty epically bad.
You know, and 7-9 isn't too good, but I guess I can kind of rest on the 11-5 last week, knowing that I still won't look too bad with this.
That's assuming you win tonight.
Yeah, assuming I win, but I'm really confident in this. The Monday night game, New Orleans against the Patriots. Patriots on the road, and if you exclude their win in London, because it's technically an away game, they have not won an away game in this continent yet.
Wow, I did not realize that. That's impressive. And New Orleans on a Monday night, you know, it's going to be a tough, tough place to play. Yeah. I don't know that there's anywhere I'd rather play less as a road team on a Monday night game. I mean, New Orleans is a tough place to play.
Well, maybe in Minneapolis, too, that's always been a consistently tough place to play. I think domes in general on a Monday night game would be tough because, I mean, at least with the, you know, open-air stadiums, you got some place for the noise to go.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be noisy in there, but Brady's a pro. I mean, I think they'll just go silent count. They'll go to their pass game. You know, he'll lift his little leg thing and they'll snap the ball. And I expect a monster night from Tom Brady tonight.
So do I. I think one of the interesting things is that we picked this game at Patriots plus 3. The Lions now move to plus 1.5. I've seen even plus a half a point in some circles. But just a quick side note, I've written down, HD not doing a lot of favors for Susie Colbert.
Susie Colbert's a nice lady, and apparently up close she looks good. I mean, just ask Joe Namath.
Yeah, ask Joe Namath. I mean, he couldn't care less how the team's going. He just wants to kiss her.
He just wants to kiss her.
But I just had that written down for some awful reason. And, you know, really, we're going to see how good New Orleans defense is tonight.
We will. And as I said in the Week 12 preview, I don't think it's as good as people think it is. I mean, the Patriots defense, which people rip, is better in almost every statistical category, and I think that that Saints defense gets exposed tonight.
You know, I think it's so funny that even this is considered almost a down year for the Patriots, where they got rid of a lot of guys on defense. I think 6 of the 11 from last year are gone, and yet everyone still picked them to win the Super Bowl, and that defense is still playing fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, their defense is still solid. I mean, they've got Jared Mayo, who's a great young player, and you can see the transition happening on the defensive side of the ball for them. And I think they go in and put an end to the Saints streak tonight. As I mean, we both picked them plus 3, but I mean, I think we both took them plus 3, thinking they would win.
Would win the game. And another thing I casually brought up to you at work that I wanted to bring up, I consider this to be fact, but I shouldn't go running around calling opinion fact.
Right.
But in my opinion, Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time. And he's still got years left.
Right. You know, it's crazy because when someone says something like that, one of us should probably disagree, but I agree with you. I mean,
yeah.
I think Brady is phenomenal. He's so accurate. He's so calm. He has got 3 rings already. I mean, he's got it. And he's married to Giselle.
And has a bastard child.
Right.
So, one of the things I also like about it is his accuracy. I don't think I've ever seen a quarterback that has been that just consistently dead on with his balls.
Yeah, and if you need proof that he's dead on with his balls, just ask Bridget Moynihan and the bastard child.
Yeah, his sperm actually boasts a higher completion percentage than he does. but I think I've used that joke before on the podcast.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and before, a couple seasons ago, I'd always thought, you know, Montana, Unitas, you know, the greats. I mean, one of the things I think impressed me the most about Johnny U is the fact that, you know, he set all those passing errors in a time when it was run first, run second, pass on third down.
Right.
But, you know, Montana's got the rings, but, I mean, I think Tom Brady will be right up there with, you know, Terry Bradshaw with, you know, enough rings to fill a hand.
Yeah, I agree, and I think he's just phenomenal. I mean, you're going to have people argue. I think some people just don't want to say a guy who's around right now is the greatest ever. They want to have that ability to look back and be like, oh, back when this guy
played. Yeah, it's like those people that always talk about the good old days, like, oh my god, the 50s, those were the good old days.
Right.
Yeah, well, in the 50s, you know, cars had got 8 miles to the gallon, and schools
right.
were still segregated, so...
Right, yeah, they're...
Yeah, it's one of the... But, you know, it's one of those things where... I said this last year about, or two seasons ago, rather, about the Brewers, about how I really don't think anyone will appreciate what CeCe did for us to get into the playoffs. Is that kind of the same scenario with Brady? Like, right now, because we're watching it live, we really don't understand what's going on?
I mean, I think in a broad sense, yes. I mean, I think people know he's good. They know he's one of the
yeah.
best. But I don't think... I mean, he's already won 3 Super Bowls. Very realistic that he could win 4, 5, 6 by the time he's
sure.
all done. And if he does that, I mean, I think when he retires and when he's gone a few years, people will be like, wow, 6 Super Bowls? That's insane.
It's unbelievable to think of now. I'm going to move us on right now. Awkward transition there. Pretty bad on my part. I should have thought ahead on this one.
That's all right.
Giants at Broncos. I missed the game.
I missed
the Packer game. I don't have that written down. I'm ashamed of myself. I'm sorry.
Wow.
But our Packers versus the Detroit Lions, you know, pretty convincing win.
Pretty convincing win. I actually had some TV issues, so my... satellite was down for the game, so I'd listen to it on the radio, but I enjoy Wayne Larrabee, and I got to get a good picture of what was going on, and it sounded like a pretty dominating performance. I mean, the fumble and the going down and touchdown early was obviously a negative way to start, but they really seemed to handle it well. They didn't freak out.
Which is good.
Right.
On the road.
I mean, that's what you want to see from those guys, and, you know, I thought the offensive line, once again... really played well, and they've really turned it on. I mean, we've talked about it the last week or so.
I once met Wayne Larrabee at a Brewer game. He was ordering, and then whatever he was ordering wasn't ready yet, so he had to wait in line, and I said hi to him. And then I was going to ask for a picture, but I was too big of a pansy to do
right.
it, because I didn't want to be, like, that guy
right.
that asked Wayne Larrabee for a picture. But anyhow... Yeah, it was one of those things where...
is that the story? That doesn't go anywhere? Like, he was a nice guy or something?
No, he was really nice.
Okay.
Yeah, I introduced myself. I told him I was a broadcasting student and just kind of... And then, like, as I was going to ask him another question and maybe for a camera, he got his sausages and he said, well, nice to meet you, and walked away to the nice seats.
Yeah, right.
It was first level, right behind
right.
the you know the home plate. Yeah, I'm sorry, that was a terrible story.
That really was.
I should
be
sure to tell that at a party sometime.
Yeah, that was good.
But anyhow, I had to pick up a family member, so I had to listen to the first, I don't know, I'd say 5 minutes of the game. And the first thing that came to mind when Jordy Nelson fumbled is, oh, you got to be shitting me! Another tough Thanksgiving game against the lowly Lions.
Yeah, that's the way it looked, but they really came together. Rodgers played well, the line played well, and
yeah, it was odd seeing Rodgers actually having time to find somebody.
Yeah, like I mean, again, I had to watch the highlights later, but the pass to Driver deep, he just stood back there. It was like Favre time against the Packers.
And it was so funny because my mom was watching the game and she goes, "Get rid of the ball," and I'm thinking like, no, wait, let's wait on this one. You know,
right.
It doesn't look like... And they showed the replay. There was absolutely nobody open except Donald Driver down the field.
Like 60 yards down the field. That was nuts. That was... And let's not forget to give our props to my boy Charles Woodson, C-Wood, I affectionately call him.
Yeah, the more I watch Charles Woodson play, the more... I think we both said it on this podcast that I think he's one of, if not the best defensive player in the league. And he just continues. I mean, open field tackles on Kevin Smith on a you know, out or on a swing, and then, you know, you've got the sack, the 2 interceptions, one of which for a touchdown. Just a dominating performance by Charles Woodson yet again. But I mean, it's almost like we've come to expect it.
Absolutely. I mean, it does not surprise any Packer fans anymore when Woodson dominates that, and you do it. You expect it. Now, without Harris, I think it's something that's even more important. I'm going to be interested to see. Do offenses just start completely ignoring his side of the field?
Yeah, it's... And, you know, it's so funny. When we signed him, I remember thinking to myself, I'm like, oh, we really are signing this guy? A guy who's been spending 8 years in the league living off his college name? Because with the Raiders, he was putting up okay numbers, but he was swamped in a horrible team and never really did anything that seemed like he'd get his, you know, 8 to 10 picks a year, but...
Yeah,
I mean,
he seemed like a solid player.
He seemed like a solid player, but not a guy who we should be paying that much money. And then when he came to the Packers, it took him about four games before all of a sudden you're like, we got somebody special here. And in a post-game interview, I think one of his first season here, he had two picks in a game, and he goes, you know, it took me a couple games to realize that when I was on the Raiders, I had to do everything by myself. I thought I was the one guy on defense. Now knowing that I'm lining up with Al Harris, he goes, I can play my own game now and feel confident in the rest of the defense, which I think is one of the biggest things. And the fact that he can still do that with Tremont Williams and that he feels comfortable enough with this defense that he doesn't feel like it's all on his shoulders anymore.
Yeah, he definitely, you know he does. And from the preseason in his interviews, you could tell he loves this 3-4 defense. He loves the scheme. He loves getting after the quarterback.
Which surprised me when we went into the 3-4, because I remember thinking to myself, I'm like, oh, really, the 3-4 we have? And, you know, 3-4 is predominantly a zone coverage.
Right.
We have two of the best bump-and-run guys in the league. And so I'm thinking, like, are we just going to abandon man? But, I mean, that hasn't been the case all season.
Right, they've kind of meshed the two together. And I think Woodson is a lot more versatile of a corner than Al Harris is.
Yeah, I agree.
I think Woodson always has been able to do whatever they ask him to do, whereas I think Harris is almost strictly a bump-and-run corner.
He's one of those guys that he needs to be in your face to really make the play. But, you know, your boy Tremont had a pick, played pretty well. I mean, it was against the Lions. It's one of those things where it's all relative. Yeah, we played well, but it was the Lions.
Right, it was the Lions. But overall, I'm very positive about it. It's a positive win. I'm going to say positive.
Yeah, I mean, you have to.
And, you know, now they get a pseudo bye week with the Thursday game all the way to a Monday night game, so they get to get healthy, obviously, other than Harris and Campman. And, you know, I'm going to go Jim Fossil on you, and I'm going to say it. This team is going to the playoffs. I guarantee this Green Bay Packer team will be in the playoffs.
You know, and I predicted before the season 10-6, and when we were 4-4, it seemed like everyone was just convinced that the sky was falling. Every Packer fan was Chicken Little. And it's looking like 10-6 is a definite possibility. I mean, I'm not going to say anything brash and say we're not going to lose another game, because, I mean, it's highly possible. I mean, we play the Bears at Soldier Field. That's, you know, a place where we've had relative success, but Bears always, for some reason, a tough game for the Packers.
Right.
Ravens next week. They also play at Pittsburgh. But one of those things is those two teams that the Ravens and the Steelers, those were two games that I went into the season looking at as, well, there's two losses. Those are two tough games, or at least 1-1 I'd be happy with.
Right.
Now it's looking like, you know, Ravens on short rest, after a big overtime game.
Right.
And Steelers look pretty depleted.
Right. I mean, this was a stretch. Going into the season, you said Baltimore, a great team who was deep in the playoffs last year in the AFC. Mm-hmm. Chicago, who a lot of people thought was going to be a contending team in the NFC North.
Yeah.
And the Steelers. I mean, those three games back-to-back-to-back looked like a murderer's row. And now, I mean, it's not the easiest stretch, but it's certainly not a murderer's row.
Well, and the nice thing is, too, another game that, I don't know, I looked at, and I don't know if I wasn't as nervous as most people were, but Arizona last game of the season in Arizona, it's one of those things where you look at, and Arizona's a pesky team. They proved it last year. I mean, they didn't really impress anyone during the regular season, but then just keep winning in the playoffs. But, you know, we talked about this. Both teams might have things locked up.
Right. I mean, it's pretty much for sure the Cardinals are going to.
Yep.
I mean, they're going to win that division. There's no way,
sitting.
Right, there's no way they're going to catch the Saints or the Vikings for a bye, so they're going to have a 3 or 4 seed locked up, and at that point, there's no reason. So there's a good chance that the Cardinals rest their starters in that final game, and like you said, I could see the Packers being 10-5 going into that game, having a wild card locked up, and sit their guys and have preview of with backups of the first round playoff matchup, which could very easily be Cardinals.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Now, going from two what we think is surefire playoff teams to now the game I horribly transitioned into before.
Right.
Two teams that I'm kind of on, I don't know if they'll make the playoffs. We got Giants at Broncos, the late turkey game. And Denver gets a much needed win. You can't argue that. Rest of our schedule is at KC, at Indianapolis, Oakland, Philly, at Philly, and then KC again. Do you like them making the playoffs this year?
It's a very manageable schedule. They fell they started 6-0, fell to 6-4. There's Kitty's Bell.
Yep, Kitty's Bell gets one shot up for today.
Maybe
another one. Maybe
another. It's not over yet. But they were 6-4. I thought they were done. We said it on the podcast.
Yep.
And they shocked me with the way they handled the Giants. And,
yep.
And now it's 7-4. They get KC twice. They get Oakland. It's a favorable schedule. I mean, it's definitely possible to see them going 10-6 and sneaking in.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. The only game that really makes me nervous about that is at Indianapolis. Indianapolis has just been steamrolling teams. And, you know, I don't know. At Philadelphia is kind of a game where I don't know how good the Phillies are, or the Phillies, Jesus, the Eagles are,
yeah.
But it's still a game that in Philadelphia it always seems to be a tough place to play.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough game, and I don't think they're a lock to make the playoffs by any means. I mean, I know KC got handled by the Chargers this week, but I do think that they're a decent team.
I agree.
And I think this Bronco team is, I still don't know what they are. I'm not ready to proclaim them a good team again just because they manage a Giants team who, quite frankly, at
sliding.
Yeah, they don't look like a playoff team right now.
The other thing is too with Denver is they play KC twice in the last 5 weeks of the season. It's hard to beat a team. Like let's say KC gets that win, it's going to be hard to beat a team twice in 5 weeks.
Right. I mean, the first one is on the road, so if they can get that one, then the final week they're at home against KC. If it comes down to that game to get into the playoffs, I like their chances.
Yep, same here.
But I mean, they got to get there first.
Yeah, exactly. And now, I didn't mean to interrupt you there before when we brought up the Giants, but yeah, Giants schedule, I just copied off you, so I feel bad, but I'm just stealing it. Dallas, Philly, at Washington, Carolina, and at Minnesota. Right now, I'm looking at that. I see 4 games that they could lose out of 5.
Yeah, I mean, I could conceivably see them losing any of those games. I mean, I think they're... And the way they're playing right now is not impressive. They can't run. They've completely lost their running game. Eli Manning, last few years, has really struggled in December when it gets windy. I mean, last year they were great through November. So if you ask me right now, I think the Packers and the Eagles get the wild cards in the NFC, and I think the Giants are going to be left out.
Yeah, which is weird because I mean, what was it? Only like 3 or 4 weeks into the season? Hell, even 5 weeks into the season.
Right.
I was ready to call the Giants the best team in the NFL.
I think a lot of people were. Quite
yeah,
honestly.
Yeah, and that was kind of one of the best teams in the NFL, and Indy kind of snuck under the radar there, but who would have predicted this just massive slide by the Giants?
Yeah, it was really not something you could have foreseen. I mean, and I think the main problem has been their defense. I mean, last week we said, Giants defense has been struggling, Denver offense has been struggling, which is going to give, and we both agreed that the Giants defense would hold.
Yep,
but we were completely wrong.
Which shows by the 4-11 and 6-9 record last week.
Right.
I have written down here about the Giants is that, you know, the Packers have an easier schedule, so I would really consider Giants one of the bigger threats for the wild card as far as the Packers go.
Mm-hmm.
But after this loss and looking at their schedule, the Packers have a much easier schedule, much easier road into the playoffs.
Much easier road. I mean, if the Packers lose, you have to figure at least one of the games they would lose would be to Pittsburgh or Baltimore.
Sure.
So that'd be 2 AFC losses, which would give them a leg up on the Giants as far as the tiebreak countdown. Although the Giants do now have a loss to Denver and San Diego, so I guess they're even in that regard.
Yeah. AFC game. First one we have written down, Dolphins at Bills. I had this as my Mikey of the week, the Dolphins at plus... Or at -3.
-3.
I really thought the Dolphins were going to steamroll the Bills here, but they didn't. I thought the Dolphins were a lot better. Do you think it's because of Ronnie Brown's absence?
Well, I've been touting that since he went out, and I really do. I mean, I think he's a huge, huge key for that offense. I think after a week of seeing how they were going to approach games without Ricky Williams, I think the Bills knew how to play defense. They only scored 14 points, and with Ricky trying to run the Wildcat, he threw a huge pick in the end zone that cost them 7 points
was,
and a lot of momentum.
I couldn't believe they went to that. And, you know, they were up 7, it seemed, the entire first half of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then they tied it. And there was a big Dolphins pick with, you know, 39 seconds left in the first half. You know, the Bills are a coachless team. If you're the Dolphins who are looking to make the playoffs, that's a must-win game.
It's an absolute must-win, and in my opinion, that's it. Dolphins are...
Yeah,
you can cross the Dolphins off possible playoff teams.
Yeah, I don't have their schedule written down right now, but I guarantee the Dolphins just going to start sinking now.
Well, at 5-6 without Ronnie Brown, they've got to... They're going to have to go
conceivably,
probably 5-0 to get in, and that's not happening.
No.
So, and speaking of potential playoff teams, back over in the NFC now, mm-hmm. we have Washington at Philadelphia. Now, Philadelphia is a really interesting team.
Hideous, I can agree more.
Hideous win over Washington. They're now 7-4. They're in control right there with the Packers for an NFC wild card. What do you make of this team at this point?
I don't know. I think it's a really good question to ask. How good are they?
Yeah.
I mean, they've got a young offense that seems anemic to me.
Yeah.
You know, they lost to the Cowboys. You know, they play them another time. You know, you got to look at it as, you know, how good is this young team going to, you know, perform when it's under pressure and they're in the playoff hunt? When every game in the last couple games of the season are must wins, how is this young team going to perform? And I'm just going to point out, this coffee is fantastic.
Yo, thank you. I brewed some delicious coffee. Yeah, it's, and now they've got Atlanta this week, and I mean, obviously I'm on board. We've talked about the Packers' schedule. We've talked about how they're playing. I think they get one wild card, so I think with the Giants staggering, I think it comes down to Philadelphia and Atlanta. So I think that game between those two teams this week is going to be massive.
I think I don't have Atlanta written down as our games were going over, so I think I'm going to bring this up quickly. You know, Matt Ryan goes out. If Matt Ryan's out for an extended period of time, I don't know what the injury report is. I think he rolled his foot.
He rolled his foot up. It looked. Didn't look good, but I have to imagine a game as big as Philadelphia back in the dome. I cannot see Matt Ryan not playing in that game.
I see this game like kind of basically showing us who's going to be the other wild card.
Right.
You know, if Philadelphia wins, I think they're in. And if Atlanta wins, I think they need to, you know, do some work. But I think they've got a pretty good shot.
They would have the leg up.
Yeah, exactly. Thing I'd like to bring up, our first podcast we did, we talked about some of the worst teams in the league, and we had, you know, the subject was broached with Washington. I am completely doing a 180 on my opinion. I don't think Washington's as bad as everyone thinks.
No, that's what we said back then. We said that people seem to lump them into that group.
Yep.
But
yep, now I remember. It's all coming back to me.
They might be more like a 5-win team. They're not good, but they're definitely not down in that Browns. Mm-hmm. I mean, They're not in that group, but I do have to say I watched a decent portion of this game. I was actually watching the Red Zone channel only with DirecTV.
Sure,
and, they showed Jim Zorn on the sideline. He looks completely uninterested in the game. Like he's like staring off into space.
You have to assume he knows his job's done at the end of the season. So what
right.
emotional investment does he have in this team?
None. Clearly, he just does not look.
I mean, if
he
you're
cares.
Jim Zorn, it's one of those things where like, well, you know, my job's done here. I don't even care.
Right, and he seemed to make that pretty obvious. Another question for you. I don't know if you caught the beginning of this game. Really interesting call. Home game for the Eagles against a pretty poor Redskins team, no Clinton Portis. I mean, if you're the Eagles, you have to go into that game thinking, we're clearly the better team here.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Reid comes out and opens the game with an onside kick. Washington recovers it, returns it all the way down to like the 20-yard line and ends up scoring a touchdown on the play.
Mm-hmm.
What? If you're much better than a team, you're at home. Why risk something silly like an onside kick to give the other team momentum?
Especially in a professional football game where, you know, the cliche saying is any given Sunday.
Right.
Washington was up most that game. They could have easily taken that game just because of that poor coaching decision. I've never trusted Andy Reid as a coach, which could have something to do with my hating of that call.
Right.
But, you know, yeah, if you're that much better of a team, put it to the 20. Make them beat you.
Right.
Instead of, I mean, I understand. Maybe the Andy Reid, like, catching them off guard, maybe we'll get this, score early. We'll basically get the ball twice to begin both halves.
Right.
But it's just dumb, and you know, what are you thinking, Andy Reid?
Yeah, it wasn't a good decision. It's one of those things, I remember a few years ago he did it on the opening game against the Cowboys on the road. Cowboys were a good team that year. That makes a little sense to me. Like, you're playing a good team, you're trying to get a leg up, but I just do not get it in a situation like that. I don't know what he was thinking.
Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah, moving on. We're going to move over to the AFC now, talk about one of those games. And a team that just did what they've been doing all year. Indianapolis goes down in the first half against Houston, comes back, and pulls away late. Your thoughts on Indy?
I'm ready to call them the best team in the NFL.
Yeah, at 14-0, Houston, I was on the phone with my dad, and I said to him, I'm like, this has all the makings of a 35-34 win for the Colts.
For the Colts, yeah. And it's so funny, too, because when I saw it 35, or when I saw it down 14-0, I thought to myself, I'm like, oh my god, I'm an idiot. Because in my Mikey's, I had put, I just have a gut feeling that the Colts winless, winning streak ends here, but I ended up taking the Colts plus 3.5,
right,
or minus 3.5. And, you know, I'm glad I said that because I look a little bit smarter now today,
right,
having picked the Colts to win. But I said, I think they're the best team in the NFL. I don't think you can argue it. Their defense is playing well. Reggie Wayne somehow cannot be stopped ever.
Yeah, he's a machine.
Dallas Clark makes catches that are, you just scratch your head going, how did he pull that down?
Right.
Their offense is just a well-oiled machine led by star of the DSRL.
love any good DSRL reference.
Peyton Manning is just, I hate to say it, he's probably the second best quarterback in the league.
He's one of the best in the league. He's very good. But, you know, the thing about the Colts for me is, I agree right now, I think you have to call them the best team in the league. I think they're a very good team. I still don't think they're getting out of the AFC, though. I don't know why. I just have this sneaking suspicion that they're pulling out all their close games now, and come playoff time, they're not going to be able to pull one out when they should.
See, I don't know. Oh, excuse me, I yawned. I don't know how much I agree with that. The winning close games, you know, you only have a certain amount of those you can pull out in a year. You know, I think a win's a win, and I think the Colts are showing that. I would almost have more close wins than just absolute blowouts, because it's showing your team has character, and you're showing your team has grit, and you know, even though I like a couple blowout wins to show that you can put your foot on somebody's throat.
Right.
But I mean, I like a good close win for a team because it shows that you can battle or even come back, which I think is really important in the league.
Right. And I'm not saying it as a cut down on them. I agree. They're getting the job done.
Yeah.
They're winning games. I don't necessarily believe that there's only so many close games you can win, but I do believe that the breaks are only going to go your way so many times.
Yeah.
Eventually, the breaks are going to go the other way. And
it's
kind of like the whole, should a team lose or should they go 16-0? And no one's going to realistically say, oh, yeah, you're better to lose. But the thinking is the breaks are eventually going to fall the other way. And the more you get now, the less you later. It'll be interesting. It's not that I don't think they're good enough to win the AFC. It's just, like you said, gut feeling. I don't know why.
Yeah, and I actually agree with you. It's just one of those gut feelings because they'll probably meet up with the Patriots. I think beating Bill Belichick twice in the season has got to be one of the hardest things to do in the league. I'd like to talk about the Texans for a little bit. You know,
yeah.
Coming into the season, they seem to be a lot of people's sexy pick for a wild card. You know, really, other than Mario Williams, they don't have much talent on defense. And other than Andre Johnson and maybe Matt Schaub, they don't have much talent on offense.
Yeah.
So I don't understand what people consistently keep seeing in the Texans.
They're just a frustrating team. They seem to this is what? Going to be the third straight year they finish right around 500.
Yep.
And they have games like this one yesterday where they take a lead against the Colts, and you see them.
They always consistently play the Colts tough, too,
right,
which I think is funny.
You see them step out, take a nice lead at home against the Colts, and you think, okay, this team is finally getting it, and then they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And that just seems to be what they are. And another thing with the Texans, speaking of Matt Schaub, I mean, the guy puts up good numbers, but at this point, he's just turnover prone. I don't think there's any other way to say it.
It was like Sage Rosenthal last year. It seemed like he would consistently put up great numbers, but you couldn't trust him in the fourth quarter with a lead.
Yeah, I mean, I think Schaub's the same way. He fumbles, he throws picks. If I'm starting a team, I don't want Matt Schaub to be the guy leading it.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, at some point you also have to wonder about, you know, Steve Slayton. It just seems that everyone every year, and I might be just, you know, kind of off my rocker on this one because I'm going off, like, fantasy-wise, everyone seems to be picking Steve Slayton in either first or second round. At what point are you going to go, maybe Steve Slayton's not that good?
Yeah, well, this is now, what, his third year in the league?
Third year, yeah.
Rookie year, he played really well at the end of the year. Last
mm-hmm.
year, he had a nice year. So he seemed to be on that
mm-hmm.
progression. But this year, he's taken a major step backwards. He's proven to be a fumbler, and
Yeah, sure.
I agree.
Coming back to everyone picking the Texans, I think it's one of those things where people pick it as like a sexy pick because there's really no danger in it. If you pick them and they don't make the playoffs, you can just say, well, hell, it's the Texans. What did you expect? But if they actually do make it, you've got one of those, well, I told you so.
Yeah, definitely. And that's kind of what I think some people see with the Texans. But
mm-hmm.
they're going to finish out of the playoffs.
I think that's mostly
year.
What people see with
yeah.
the Texans, because I honestly don't see that much talent there other than, like I said, Andre Johnson and Mario Williams. But, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, they are what they are. That's my opinion on them.
Yeah.
Other action in the AFC South was Tennessee at home. They pulled it out last-second drive, last-second touchdown over Arizona. What do you think about Vince Young and the monstrous drive to win the game?
It shows moxie. If this was last season, that wouldn't have happened. Vince Young's a completely different, not only football player, but human being than he was at this point in the season last year. You know, it seems like this is the third or fourth podcast in a row where we've talked about, like, you know, maybe we had it wrong about Vince Young, and at some point you just have to admit, this guy's a winner, and that's exactly what he did. You know, we've been talking about Titans playoffs, too. Are you still on the Titans playoff bandwagon?
I mean, I think they've got a shot. I mean, we looked at their schedule last week. It was a manageable schedule. They do have Indy next week, but it's manageable. I mean,
I think they need to win that game to get into the playoffs.
Well, I mean, logic would tell you they have to win their last five and get to 10-6, but there's, I mean, the AFC, everyone keeps saying, no, you have to go at least 10-6 in the AFC, you have to go at least 10-6
But with Baltimore and Ravens, the Ravens and the Steelers both kind of poo-pooing on each
other.
Right,
I mean, both of those teams are 6-5, you've got Denver at 7-4, and it's just a cluster at 6-5 and 5-6, so it's possible that a 9-7 team could be the sixth seed in the
AFC.
Yeah,
and you almost have to look at Tennessee with this role they're on going, are they going to do some damage? I mean, they beat some pretty good teams in this role here. And, you know, it was one of those things where when the Rockies won 19 of those 22 games to get into the playoffs, I picked them to go to the World Series. I actually picked that World Series that year.
Wow, well done.
And I said, professional sports are just such a game of momentum. I think that's especially true with baseball. I think that's especially true with football. And I think that's especially true with soccer.
Yeah.
They're all just, especially football and soccer, but baseball is a big momentum game. And football, when you've got that rolling, that big dick swinging attitude that we're going to beat everyone we run into, you know, it's an unbeatable feeling that I think the Saints are proving it's unbeatable.
Yeah, well, the Titans.
Titans, what did I say?
You said Saints.
It's because, you know, we got the game on, and I keep casually looking at it.
Right.
So it's like when you're reading something and trying to have a conversation.
Right.
And so I'm watching this, and I'm surprised the name Tirico didn't slip into that
right.
sentence.
Well, if we're going to talk about what's on TV, we just saw almost every ESPN guy just picked the Saints, which boggles my mind.
Yeah, same here. And Ditka picked the Saints, who is now 11-0 this season in picking Monday night games.
11-1!
Starting tonight?
Starting tonight. He's
well, yeah, sure.
This one. But anyway, we... TV got us off track.
I'm sorry. It's those beautiful brown eyes of Mike Tirico. I just get drawn in.
Yeah, they do gaze at you from afar. But let's flip this game around. Let's look at Arizona. They've now fallen to 7-4, which is still a solid record.
And
the NFC West pretty much guarantees them the win. First of all, I guess the first question is easy. Would they have won this game if Kurt Warner had started?
I think it's highly possible. I think it's a completely different team without Kurt Warner. You know, it's so funny, coming to the league, everyone seemed to be super wet for Matt Leinart, and I was one of the few detractors that said, I don't know, I just, you know, the guy played at USC on basically a college all-star team.
Right.
Let's see what he does in the league. I never trusted his arm. I think he's an accurate quarterback, but once you get over 25 yards, it gets kind of dicey.
I don't like my young quarterback to have 50 pounds of knee brace, personally.
Yeah, that too, and, well, you know, you got to Kurt Warner, we talked about it, his deal with the Devil's not up yet. I think when Kurt Warner is a quarterback of that team, I would never count the Cardinals out because that offense is so good. Another thing, what has happened to Anquan Boldin? I remember last year I made a side bet. I don't think there was any money placed with in our fantasy league TJ Kubricki saying that Anquan Boldin would have a better statistical season than Larry Fitzgerald. And then going into that game where he got his head nearly torn off by the Jets, he was.
Yeah.
Because everyone doubled Fitz, and then he just caught the touchdown passes. And I honestly believe if it wasn't for that head injury, he probably would have ended the season better statistically. I don't get me wrong, I think Larry Fitzgerald is a more talented wideout.
Right.
But,
you know,
it seems like this year he's been almost non-existent.
Yeah, he really has. I mean, I think the whole contract issue, I don't want to be here, is wearing on his teammates. I mean, at some point, I think it's... it's wearing on him. I mean, I think it's just that whole situation is getting old. Everyone's like, I just want this to get resolved one way or another. Bolden, he's such a weird guy because I viewed him as a tremendous talent. But like you said, this year he's been off. And granted, he's had hamstring problems. He's had some health issues this year. That has to play some role in his lack of production. But it's strange for him to just drop off the map as severely as he has.
Yeah, and especially in that offense too. That's such a pass-heavy offense where they needed all of, you know, Breston, Kwan, and Fitz to win last year.
Right.
And this year, it just seems like it's Breston and Fitz.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely Breston.
I mean, I also think that another part of this could be the fact that they don't really have a semblance of a running game.
Right, although Beanie Wells has given them a little more than Tim Hightower ever did, but still definitely not the strong suit of their offense. It's second thought after Fitzgerald's double teamed and triple teamed for a quarter. They're like, all right.
Yeah, exactly. It's also sticking in the AFC, even though that was an AFC-NFC game.
Well, we had Tennessee in there.
Yeah, I know. We got Pitt at Baltimore, a game we had mentioned earlier in talking about the Packers. Big game last night. I came over for it, only got to watch about a half. Is Pittsburgh done?
They're in trouble. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Both these teams are 6-5. And, I mean, they play again in Pittsburgh, which could very well determine which of them gets
in.
But Pittsburgh, I mean, we know they have the Packers left. They've got a tough schedule. We talked about it last week. I think both of these teams are in legit trouble as far as making the playoffs. And I don't know. Without a healthy Troy Polamalu, I don't see the Steelers going 4-1 down the stretch.
And, you know, it just in general, I don't know if I like the Ravens doing the same down the stretch.
Right.
But I think I like I'm trying to regain my thoughts here once again. Maybe I'm not going to blame it on Monday Night Football, but you know, Pittsburgh's a different team without Ben Roethlisberger, the same that Arizona's not the same team without Kurt Warner.
Right.
I just think that without their leader Big Ben coming behind center, it's just one of those teams. As soon as we had picked this game as a pick 'em,
right,
not by the spread, and as soon as I heard Big Ben wasn't playing, I said, Bob, we're going to lose this one.
Yeah. I mean, I think we both knew that. That's the crappy thing about making your picks midweek when you don't know. But what can you do? I mean,
the only indications on Thursday said that Big Ben would play. He said he had a headache, but still was planning on going out there.
Right. Everything sounded like he was going to play, and then he ended up not. So I don't know. I guess with head injuries, you always have to be leery in the NFL. But
And we've talked about this before. I think I said it again. You know, I'm not surprised he didn't play. After your first concussion, you know, two through however many seem to come a lot easier. As a person who's been concussed before, it's not fun.
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand how somebody can, like Steve Young can take, I think he had two concussions in a game.
Yeah, he's...
And, you know, it's one of those things where it boggles my mind that NFL players can come back within a week of concussions. And it's one of those things where the league talks about it, and I'm going to go on a tangent here with you for this, because we had talked about the Packer game, that hand to the head,
right,
a quarterback call. It's getting into a league where, you know, it almost seems like they're protecting the quarterback too much, but when it comes to concussions, I think it's just a scary thing. I think it should almost be a league rule, sit out the next week.
Yeah, and I mean, it's almost become a rule that's not, like, you know, an unwritten baseball type rule, where guys do seem to always sit out now an extra week after a concussion. I mean, and Roethlisberger was kind of the exception, it seemed like, because he seemed to be clearing all the tests and he seemed ready to go. But at the end of the day, they said, nah, let's not.
Yeah, and to get back to the point I was making earlier with the head to the helmet, I can't stand these penalties in the NFL. It's going to get to a point where you can't touch the quarterback.
Right. Yeah, it's
you know, I agree. It's the franchise. But, you know, Bart Starr, Johnny Unitas never had this many rules, and we consider them in the pantheon of NFL Hall of Famers.
To argue the other side of the coin, though, Johnny Unitas and Bart Starr didn't have 320-pound men who could run 4.440s coming at them.
You know, a lot of football players back then looked like your best friend's dad.
Right, exactly. I mean, these guys today are the premier athletes. They're huge.
Mm-hmm.
They're ripped up on juice.
But that being said, still, I think it's ridiculous that we're protecting the quarterbacks this much.
I mean, we do protect them a lot. I think the league just looks at it and says, well, we could have a rule that says significant contact with the head, but they really seem to make a push to clarify rules to a point where it's cut and dry, and it's if you touch the head. But I agree with you.
And
it
the
is
the thing
ridiculous.
Is, you know, severe blow to the head, you know, that's all in the opinion of the referee
exactly.
or umpire, whoever sees it. And it's just one of those things that, yeah, it's the franchise. I get it. You know, if the Packers lost Aaron Rodgers, but I mean, there was a scenario earlier this year where somebody, like, went low, not even on purpose, on Tom Brady, completely clean,
right.
just barely clipped his knee, 15-yard penalty.
Yeah,
and I understand he's the golden boy in the NFL. But let's get serious, folks.
The new rule with the legs is it's one thing if someone's diving at the knees, but
yeah,
I mean if a defensive tackle gets blocked to the ground and the quarterback's laying or standing in front
exactly
of him,
exactly what happened with Tom Brady.
What is he supposed to do? I mean, he's going to dive at whatever he can get a hold of.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, you don't have these rules protecting the running back, who I would say would take 10 times more punishing
right.
hits than the quarterback consistently every game. Or, you know, you don't have that rule for a wide receiver who's hung out to dry who's going to take
an atrocious
hit.
They have the defenseless receiver one now, where if a guy can't catch the ball and you hit him, it's a penalty. And, I mean, I guess the thing with the wide receiver and the quarterback is that they can't protect themselves. The running back is geared for contact.
Yeah.
On the ball. But
I don't know. Should we get back on task here?
Yes.
Pitt at Baltimore. You know, good overtime win for the Ravens. They have a shot to make the playoffs now, but as we mentioned earlier, 4-1. You know, Packers can't be as nervous. Did we already touch on this?
We touched on it briefly earlier, but yeah, I mean, it's going to be a hard week for the Ravens. They're coming off, you know, game
almost a full overtime.
Yeah, almost a full overtime game against the Colts, game against the Steelers. I mean, emotionally and mentally, you got to think that the Packers have an advantage, but we'll see. And
especially with 10 days.
Yeah, exactly. But here's my question about the Ravens. You didn't get to see the second half of the game, I don't think, but
no.
It was a very interesting call. 4th and 3 from around the 50, they had 2 timeouts left with about 3.5 minutes left for the Ravens. And they bring the punt team on the field to punt it away, then they call a timeout and go for it. If that didn't work and they didn't get it and the Steelers run the clock out, people are butchering Jim Harbaugh today. John Harbaugh,
yeah.
What do you think about Harbaugh?
I think
it was a weird move, and it paid off because they got the first down and scored the game-winning
score. Yeah,
well,
sure.
Well, the score to
tie
it.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things where, I don't know, maybe it was one of those plans where they said, and like I said, I didn't get to see it. I had to go home, and I cannot afford cable right now,
right.
So I'm kind of in a rough shake as it comes to watching the National Football League on a weekly basis.
Right.
You know, I guess maybe the thought process there is maybe we get them to jump. We've got these 2 timeouts.
Well, they didn't even go to the line. Like, it was like
They sent the punt team out.
They sent the punt team out. We're, like, just starting to go to the line, and then he called the timeout. It was just really strange, and, like, he didn't know what he wanted to do. And I don't know. I don't like to see that out of my head coach. Like,
no,
I was fine with them going for it, but why waste one of your 2 timeouts? It seemed really, really poor.
Especially without that time taken off the clock and those 2 timeouts. I mean, like I said, didn't see it. I mean, the Ravens might have had a chance to go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, they did. But speaking of the Harbaughs, let's jump over to
college football.
Football,
yeah.
And sticking in the Pac-10 with Jim Harbaugh, huge game this Thursday night. We have Oregon State at Oregon in Eugene. Oregon, the Ducks are 9.5-point favorites. What's your take on this one? Winner goes to the Rose Bowl.
You know, Alton is, I mean, consistently voted as one of the, it's up there with LSU and the Swamp to be like some of the worst places to play.
What is?
Alton?
Eugene.
That's a stadium that the Ducks play.
Is that the stadium?
Alton Stadium, yeah.
I did not know.
Mm-hmm.
I just call it Eugene, which is, I guess, just the city. But
yes, it is in Eugene, Oregon. You know, I'll say this, but then kind of go back on myself. I like Oregon at -9.5. But, except for the game against SC, from the Oregon games I've watched, they've never really blown me away. They've never really shown me that you know, they're a team that I can really think, yeah, they're consistently great winners. I mean, the Arizona game, they should have won by a lot more. I mean, on paper, but that's why the game's not played on paper, I guess. And they just squeaked it out.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think both of these teams, in Eugene, Oregon's tough to beat, in Corvallis, Oregon State's really tough to beat. I think I would take probably the home team either way. And if push came to shove, I would take Oregon -9.5 as well, but I'm definitely not going to have this game in my 55%.
Same with me for the Mikeys. This game will definitely not touch it. And another thing that's interesting to look at the Oregon State game is the quarterback play.
Well, as I said last week, I love Jeremiah Masoli for Oregon. I think he's just a playmaker. He hits peats harder than some linebackers do in college football.
Which you love to see out of a quarterback. One of the reasons I love Tim Tebow so much.
Right, I think he's the difference. I think Masoli is the difference, and I do think they win pretty easily in this one.
Yeah, sure. Another Big 12 championship game, Texas versus Nebraska. You know, Big 12 is having a pretty, you know, rough shape.
Pretty
right
brutal
now.
Year.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what Texas does, assuming they win this one.
They're 13.5-point favorites. What do what do you like or dislike about Texas here?
Well, you know, it's a tough call. I'm not a huge fan of this Nebraska team. Offensively, they're terrible. They do have a stud defensive tackle. One of my 55%ers bet of the week the other week was K-State +16.5 against Nebraska. So I obviously watched a lot of that game.
Mm-hmm.
And this D-tackle, I think it's S-U-H is his last name, and he is...
Yeah, it's tough.
He is a beast. Like, he was completely controlling the game, which for defensive tackle to do that is...
impressive.
It was really insane. So I think they're going to... I think Nebraska's defense will hold up pretty well. I worry that their offense is going to turn it over too much for them to keep it too close, but... I think Texas gets the win, and I mean, speaking of Texas, Colt McCoy, does he get the Heisman just because people think he hasn't won it yet? He's a quarterback. Texas is undefeated.
See, I don't know. I think Tebow's a legitimate candidate. I like Toby Gerhardt.
Yeah, I think it's a three-horse race between those three
basically.
Guys.
Basically, you know, it's tough to say. This is one of the first times in a while where it was almost like the year Bradford won it. Too, where it was kind of like, that was last year.
That was last year, yeah.
Where it was kind of like, well, I really don't know who's going to win it.
Yeah, I really don't either. I don't think you... Tebow, I guess, could get it. I just don't think he's had the type of year
I think Tebow might get it because he's America's darling.
He is. I think McCoy gets it. I personally would vote for Toby Gerhardt if it was my vote.
Yeah, because he is just... He's going to be the next touchdown... Or he's going to be the next Mike Allstott. Touchdown Vulture 2.0.
Yeah, he is... And he's just a beast. I really love...
He's a giant human.
He's, and they said he's taking 21 credit hours while playing football at Stanford. That's
it boggles my mind. At Stanford, you're taking 21 credits. At UW La Crosse, I didn't take 21 credits, and I didn't have a job. it's just ridiculous. And something else I wanted to touch on in this game, you know, with the Big 12 having such a down year, Texas winning pretty handedly over most of their opponents, you know, is Texas, you think, as good as maybe some of the teams in the SEC, or...
I don't know, and I think we'll find out, because I think they win this game.
Yeah.
I think it's close. I take Nebraska +13.5, but, I don't...
Yeah, I'm going to go the other way on that one,
I don't,
just to get that out there.
Right. I don't think Texas is great. I think they'll lose to whoever wins the Big 12 championship game, which we'll get to in a minute, but... I think they're a good team. I think they can play with anyone, but, we'll find out, because the Big 12 is not having a strong year.
Yeah, it is not good. And I think a lot of that has to do with the aforementioned Heisman Trophy winner, Sam Bradford, being out.
Right.
You know, but you look at some of Oklahoma's, you know, games. Does Bradford really make a difference in some of those?
Yeah. I mean, it'd be a different... But, I mean, beyond
it's
Oklahoma...
It's a different team confidence-wise.
Right. But, I mean, beyond Oklahoma, that whole conference is just really struggling. So we'll see. I mean, I think, unfortunately, we won't know for sure until we see Texas play either Florida or Bama.
Yeah, I agree. And speaking of Florida and Bama, we've got a game that I will definitely be heading over here to watch. because I really want to see this.
You'll have to go to the bar. I think we're doing.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. We talked about this. Florida versus Bama in the Georgia Dome. I think I would say two best teams in college football going at it yet again for the second year in a row.
I mean, it's going to be a fantastic game. This thing is, people have been talking about this game since before the season started.
Yep.
I mean, it was just expected that this is where it was going to end up, and so often in sports, that doesn't come through. So to have this game, I mean, this is a legitimate playoff game.
Yeah.
I mean, the winner goes to the national title game, there's no question, and it should just be a fantastic game.
How excited do you think Nick Saban is for Tim Tebow to graduate?
He's very excited. Hopefully he's excited enough to stop wearing those awful, awful hats he wears at practice.
Oh, I love it. I love everything Nick Saban does. But even more than my love for Nick Saban, my love for Tim Tebow. I wear Tim Tebow pajamas to bed. But, you know, it's tough because as much as I love him as a college quarterback, the big debate is NFL quarterback. What do you think?
I think he's not an NFL quarterback. I think he'll get moved to tight end or
mm-hmm.
something along those lines in the NFL. And quite frankly, I think he's a God-loving douche.
Wow, throwing God under the bus.
Yeah.
Casually throwing God under the bus
right
there. You know, I may not agree with his, you know, standpoints on a lot of things, especially because
right.
you're the fucking quarterback at Florida, one of the most attractive campuses in
right.
the world.
Yeah.
How are you not bringing home three different chicks a night if you're Tim Tebow?
Yeah, Tim
Instead
Tebow could have run of the mill.
Scripture.
Yeah.
Then hanging
Corinthians.
Out with, yeah, he's reading Corinthians instead of hanging out with the, you know, some the local sorority. Taking the rounds at the local sorority. I agree. I just don't see Tim Tebow as a good NFL quarterback. And it might be because he just doesn't throw.
Because he shot puts the football to his receiver.
Yeah, well, I mean, Philip Rivers does that too.
Yeah, that's true.
I can't stand watching people short arm it. He can't throw a seam route.
Yeah,
it's just. I mean, granted, that's one of the hardest to throw, but
he's one of the greatest college football players ever. If not the greatest college.
And
football
I think
if he wins
the Heisman again this year, I don't think you could argue against it.
Right, and so I mean, I think. I mean, he's clear. So his, you know, his NFL prospects, whatever. He can worry about that later.
I think he's a big enough gamer and he's a good enough talent where wherever he gets drafted in whatever position they put him in, he'll succeed.
He'll find a way. I agree. But speaking of quarterbacks in this game, for picks, I think the difference in this game is not going to be Tim Tebow. I think it's going to be McElroy, the Alabama quarterback,
sure.
who's terrible. And I think,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he holds that team back. And
well, has Bama football ever been about passing?
It never has, but John Parker Wilson last year could at least make a few plays down the field a
mm-hmm.
game. He's got Julio Jones to throw to. But McElroy just doesn't have it. He misses receivers when he does. I mean, their run game has carried them, but against Florida, it won't be enough.
I think one of John Parker Wilson's greatest traits was that ridiculous haircut he had.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was almost like a flock of seagulls, but, you know, kind of over the eyes.
Yeah, almost
the but emo. he was too nervous to cut it all, so he just let it all grow down.
Right.
It was all bangs. That's all it was.
There was a lot of bangs. It was like Southern emo, I think.
Yeah, that's a perfect explanation of what that was. I don't even want to talk about him. I don't know if it was him or it was his brother on 2 Days.
I have no idea.
Lacrosse's resident football expert, Tracy Wagner, would know that one. We might have to have... Tracy, you might have to email the show if you're listening to this one.
Yeah.
You know, Florida's favored by 6. That's a line that scares me, because I think this will be another great defensive game. I think it's going to be another lead change in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And I just think... I went flip-flop back and forth this whole year, whether Florida or Alabama were the best team in the country.
Yeah.
And I honestly cannot wait. I'm going to... God, I almost don't want to pick this game because I think Florida wins. I can't tell you by spread.
Come on, you got to make a pick on the spread.
I'll go Alabama +6, but Florida to win.
Okay, I'll take Florida -6. I think Florida wins.
Handedly, too.
Touchdown. I think it's a close game for a half. I think in the second half, Florida makes it known who the better team is.
Sure. I think Urban Meyer is just one of those. I mean, it's really. I also think too. You've got two of the best coaches in college football. That's kind of like, you know.
I mean,
general statement. You know, usually if it's the two best programs, you're gonna have two of the best coaches.
I would argue they're the two best coaches in college football. But so that'll be interesting, and we can get into more college football as we get into bowl season. I think we'll have to have a bowl picking contest or something along.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, bowl season's one of my favorite times of the year. I love the BCS. I know you don't.
Right.
I don't think we have really much time to get into the BCS argument, mostly because my arguments are all ridiculous, and I just love the bowl system, so that's my only argument.
Yeah, we've had some ridiculously lopsided arguments in my favor of BCS versus the playoffs.
Don't get me wrong, a playoff would probably really truly determine who the best team in the country is.
Yeah.
But
we'll get into this.
I love the bowl
season. We'll get into this come bowl season. But for now, we're wrapping it up here.
Yeah.
We do have an email from a listener and reader. This is from Kyle in Wisconsin.
Oh, yes.
And he wants to know. He says that he had a Snickers the other day.
Okay.
And upon
delicious candy bar, by the way.
Right, absolutely. And upon his completion of this candy bar, his hunger was gone. And he wants to know if, like the commercial, does the hunger really go to Germany?
I really don't think we have any scientific proof proving otherwise.
Right, I agree.
So, until they come out with some, you know, flowcharts or something that really I don't understand.
Right.
Some graphs and flowcharts I don't understand. I just have to assume, you know, Munich, maybe Berlin is where hunger's hanging out.
Well, the commercial shows it, so I mean, someone needs to give scientific evidence to prove that that's not the case.
Yeah, I think that's perfectly. I think that's a perfect argument. If you show something on television or the internet, I think you should have to show actual evidence against that.
Right. I mean, so until I find that, I'm going to assume that some poor sap in Germany is now starving because
it's getting filled with our hunger.
Right. Well, is it filled with hunger? Is that?
They're being overrun with our
overrun. Okay, yeah, that's an interesting.
The German population has boomed in the last about 6 months since that, or 3 months since that commercial started.
They probably eat a lot of extra sauerkraut.
Ooh, it's got to be smelly.
Yeah, gotta be smelly. So, if you have an email for the show, feel free to give us an email. It is aldavis+thepoints@gmail.com. We will continue to do the podcast every Monday and Thursday. This Thursday, of course, will be the NFL preview yet again.
Hopefully we'll do better.
Right. There'll be more written content, of course. We'll have our picks. And I'm going to start writing some genuine articles here. I haven't gotten around to that yet. But, yeah, so for Al Davis Plus the Points, my name is Brandon Sigloff.
And I'm Jake Wilson. And as always, take Al Davis Plus the Points.